I believe God's not done yet. We're going to be doing something a little different than we normally do. But over the last number of weeks, I've been speaking about character witness and how God has called you and I to witness the character and nature of God to the world around us. That's what we're called to do. I believe that's why God leaves us on this big old earth after we become born again, so that as we're changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, in His presence, we then can go out from His presence and be that same light of the presence of Jesus to the world around us. That's what God has called you and I to do. That's our primary goal in life. And I believe there's been times for all of us that there's been distractions of that. You know, different world events happening, different things going on. But we need to remind ourselves and recenter ourselves back on that truth that it's Him alone. No one but Him, just as we were singing one of the stanzas in one of the songs, and how critical and how important that is. So we've been talking in the last number of weeks, brought up different characters from the Bible, right? We brought up, you know, Jonah last week. You know, I think the subtitle was, "You're going the wrong way," you know? And so we talked about that and how that happened in his life, that he had a character flaw that caused him to go in the wrong direction. We looked at Jacob a couple weeks before that, where he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and we talked about the fact that he had a character flaw. He had trust issues. He had deception issues. He had issues. He had a lot of things going on. We talked about several other individuals. We talked about Solomon. He had a lust problem. You know, anybody that has, you know, hundreds and hundreds of wives and girlfriends, there is something not quite right there, all right? Now, having said that, with all of those, we talked about Peter, for example, and how, you know, twice Jesus said to him, you know, Satan is going to be a part of your life. Once he actually called Peter Satan. In the other case, he said, Satan's going to sift you like wheat. And so the point is that Peter wasn't perfect. Now, I don't know about you, this gives me hope. You know, when I hear about all these different characters in the Bible and how, for lack of better terms, they screwed up, made a lot of errors, made a lot of flaws, a lot of things going on in their lives, God never left them. God never forsook them. Can you say thank you, Jesus, for that? I know, but I can't speak for you, but for me, that makes me really happy. It means that God's not going to give up on me when I have a character flaw, when I make a mistake. Anyone here ever made a mistake as a believer? Oh, so some of your hands, okay, those people who didn't put up your hands, I want to talk to you after to find out how you did that. Because I think you're lying. I'm just being honest. Because we all have flaws. We all make mistakes. Now, here's the thing. We've been talking about all those things, all those examples, so that we could learn from them. On my wall in my office, I have different plaques. There's plaques up there. One is like faithfulness. A lot of them are fruit of the Spirit, you know, kindness, those kinds of things. And right in front of me, if I sit at my desk and look straight across, there's one that says character on it. And here's what it says. True character is who you are when only God is watching. Wow. And every day, you know, when I come to the office, I look at that and I read that, and I'm like, that is reminding me of who I am when no one's around. And so often what happens is we act differently when we're around different people. And that is not a pure and noble character. Really, we should act exactly the same as if we're alone with the Lord Jesus. Now, you'll notice that says only when God is watching. Now, unfortunately, there's someone else watching you all the time as well. And that's what the title of this message is today. It's called Character Witness - the Enemy. The enemy is watching you as well. Now, he's not there to cheer you on and help you along in your life and walking in the glory and presence of God. No, he's watching to trip you up. He's been watching you your whole life. And he's aware of your weaknesses, your character flaws that all of us have. And he's looking for that Achilles heel, that thing to trip you up and cause you to fall. See, the devil didn't bother much with you and I when we were part of his kingdom because he had us. So he didn't bother with us. But when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, all of a sudden, we transfer from the evil camp to God's camp. You know, from Satan's camp to God's world. And so as a result of it, Satan is not very happy about that. So he does everything to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10 talks about that. Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the last part of that scripture says that I, meaning Jesus, have come to give you life and life more abundantly. And that's what God wants to do for us. Yet the enemy's watching all the time. He knows our weak areas. And listen to me, you need to be aware of that. In fact, there's a scripture in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 that talks about this. And it says, it starts out, and John says this, we are of God. They're going to put it up. And the whole world lies, what? Under the sway of the wicked one. Now, if we just read that and just take it as it is, we could say, oh, great, I'm of God, so I'm not under the sway of the evil one anymore. I wish it was that black and white. But because we live in a world that's under the sway of the evil one, then those characters that are under that sway influences us and affects us. In fact, there's a scripture, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, I think verse 33, it says this, bad company corrupts good character. And so here we are trying to do what God's calling us to do, trying to live a holy, righteous life, and yet we have all these negative characters around us, whether through the internet and television, newspaper, however, co-workers. I won't ask for a show of hands of that. How many people have evil co-workers? Don't put your hand up, all right? But you know what I'm saying. Or evil schoolmates. You know, I remember going to school, and most of the influences there were not a positive influence on my life. Amen. So we need to be aware of this, that the sway of the enemy still impacts us. So, last number of weeks, we've been using examples of real people from 2,000 years ago or more, some even more, 4,000 or 5,000 for some of them. Yet, it's as real today, the problem, as it was then. So that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to invite a young man up. I can say that because he's younger than me, that has gone through an experience in his life that I believe all of us, including me, can relate to. So Brian, come on up. In fact, let's put your hands together for Brian. Amen. There we go. Amen. Good to see Hello. You here, Brian. Thank you for coming again. You were here an hour ago and shared with us. Some of you know Brian, some of you don't. And so, yeah, there you go. We got some people who know Brian. Amen. So, Brian, take a minute and just tell us a little bit of background as far as how did Reach Out become part of your life.
So, I first came here November 15th, 2015, and I heard... I got an answer to a prayer I didn't know I was praying to God for, and Vera led me to the Lord. I have a wife, and I have 6 kids, and became on fire for God. You know, that moment I said yes to Jesus, I started to read the Bible and saw that it held a mirror unto my heart, and I realized how much I needed Jesus, and he became real in a very tangible way, and was showing me things left and right, and it was very exciting. I was, if anyone knows me from back then, I was on fire for God. It was awesome.
About 2015, I think you'd mentioned earlier, right? So quite a number of years ago.
Yeah.
Amen. And then something happened.
So to all of 2016, my wife will testify, I was a little crazy because I was like, you know, hearing from God left and right, and it was awesome. 2017, my faith grew stronger. 2018, even stronger. And I thought I was a mighty man of God. And I started a new position in 2019 for work. And I began to make some decisions that led me down a path out of God's will for my life. There were very subtle things that led me away. And... over the course of 2 years, this past Monday, God kind of broke the spell that was placed over me. Okay. And it was quite awful. It was quite awful. I never thought that would happen to me. I thought I was so strong in faith, but the enemy definitely enticed and lured me away with very subtle things, and choices I made resulted in an incredible amount of damage that I did. But we'll elaborate more into that, but the Lord had showed me that those relationships that I hurt, and I did some really awful things to my family, to people at work, he is going to teach me how to reconcile, to give him the glory, and share him, that without him, I can't do it.
Now, you know, you talk about things happening, you know, did Satan show up one day and just say, hey, I'm going to wreck your life, and you said, oh, okay, and signed up for that? How could this happen, I guess, is my question.
That's a great question. I know and have a revelation of why Adam and Eve ate that fruit. I get it 100%. You know, it says that he is more cunning than any other creature. Mm. And that is 100% true. I don't want to give him power or strength at all because he doesn't have it. He's powerless, but he does want to take us out. He wants to sift us like wheat. So these small things where I decided to put work before him, where I decided to put my family before him, resulted in really chaos, absolute chaos.
So like just one degree at a time. I think of that story of, you know, how do you cook a frog? And the saying is one degree at a time. Frog doesn't even know he's being cooked till it's too late. You just slowly turn the heat up. And that's kind of what I hear happening here. It's just one little decision, another little decision, and all of a sudden you're frying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were two visions that the Lord gave me. One of them was, you know, when we become followers of Christ, he tears down the wall that's between him and us.
That's good.
All right. And these compromises and decisions I made, I started to build back up that wall. So that was one vision that he had given me. This past Monday, he destroyed that thing. Bam! Gone. And it was awesome.
Amen.
another vision is just picture being on a raft on the ocean and you're having fun, right? And it's all sunny, it's a beautiful hot day, and the current takes you out.
That's good.
And you don't even notice that it takes you out because you're distracted with friends on the boat or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you're all alone, and it's pitch black, and you're like, where I was at was cast into outer darkness. Absolute wall built. I could not experience the presence of God, and I felt hopeless. I absolutely felt hopeless. I felt like there was nothing else in life. Nothing. Like, I rejected text messages, I rejected the church, I rejected everything. Mm-hmm. Everything I rejected. And I never, ever thought that would happen to me.
Yes.
Ever.
So with that, you know, just so everyone gets an understanding of kind of what's going on the inside, is it that you totally walked away from God, or was he still a part of your life during this season of time?
So he totally blessed me the last 2 years. I was definitely reading my Bible. I was hearing him on like day-to-day things on how to manage stuff. He was there. I did sense his presence, but as time went on, and there were times where I really felt like I thought I turned to him and repented. I wanted to so bad, but guilt and shame, like, I hated me. I hated the sin in me, and it didn't make sense to me why God would love me. In my mind, and I think that's what the Bible says, that the human mind is an enemy to God. I think that's what that means, and it really is. My mind was an enemy for God's will.
That's good. So, what would you say to someone maybe that's sitting right here or watching online that is like, nah, this could never happen to me?
Well, I mean, I said that. So I did say that. And it's a spirit of pride for sure. You know, I truly believed in my spirit. I didn't confess and say these things. But my spirit was like, no, my faith is strong. My faith is strong.
Yeah.
And it's not my faith. It was given to me by God.
Yeah.
He gave me that measure of faith.
Man. In fact, there's a scripture I talked, you heard me earlier, I spoke about Peter, how, you know, he thought he could never fail Jesus. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Yet we know that he did. And Peter later on in his life, and I'll put it up on the screen, said this, 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, says this concerning Satan. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So what's Peter saying? First of all, Peter's been through the mill, all right? Peter, he got used by Satan and abused by Satan. So for him to make this statement, he's speaking out of experience with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, saying, look, it happened to me. It can happen to you. In fact, he even says, look, all these sufferings can happen to all the brethren. All the people around the world can be influenced by the enemy, and we need to be aware of it. And the first thing that will take you out is to say it could never happen to you. You say that, you are ripe for a downfall. That's the reality of it. And, you know, thank God that you had a turnaround. Amen.
Oh, yeah. No, it was really bad. So just to get on a real personal level of some of the stuff I did, you know, I was awful to my wife. I was awful to my kids. And I was very selfish. And so like Monday, it was very eye-opening. It was a very big night of asking for forgiveness for my entire family. And I was very thankful that God did that because he restored me. He restored me. The path, I was way out there. And then he just broke this curse, the spell or whatever the heck it was over me, the sway of the enemy, and immediately brought me back to his presence. I was able to get counsel from him so that I could ask my wife for forgiveness. This situation brought my wife to her knees, and I had support from Pastor Carl and Pastor Sandra praying for me, even though I rejected it. I didn't want any of it. I was getting angry reading the Bible, and I'm very thankful, and he's going to teach me to heal stuff with my job. I mean, and I didn't even know this stuff was going on. He's showing it all to me. I'm still unpacking everything that he gave to me on Monday. And it's like every day, it's like I think about the last 2 years, my actions, and I'm going to say, Lord, what do I got to do for your glory? Amen.
You know, I fully believe that all of us experience things like this. You know, in Brian's case, it was a two-year, you know, wilderness experience. For some of us, it could be just a day, a week, a month, or maybe even longer than what Brian's experienced. See, Brian was still involved. You know, he was present, so to speak, but his heart was absent. And I think we can all relate to that. You know, sometimes it's because of things going on in our lives. There's a lot of reasons why we can excuse it, in a sense. But here's my point. Either we're in it now, we're going to be tempted with it, or we have experienced it. All of us, at different levels. And so, Brian, what would you say to that person right now that's in that valley? You know, where you were under the, you know, and you use the word spell of the enemy, just, you know, fogged over, kind of blinded to what was going on. What would you say to that person right now?
I would say don't lose hope. Cling on to a promise that God had given you. I reminded myself many times of a promise that he made to me. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. When someone reaches out to you, you know, be honest with them at that moment. I let my shame and guilt keep me from responding to people that love me. Yeah. And the result, it hurt. So don't lose hope, and it's okay to ask for help.
That's good. You know, for me as a pastor, you know, I have kind of, at times, a bird's eye view on you. Sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. You know, with the internet the way it is now, with Facebook and all these social platforms, I often see where you are spiritually by the things you're talking about or not talking about. You know, I see that, and I don't judge or whatever. What I do is I start to pray. And so with Brian, that was the same thing. I could see it happening. I could literally see the enemy doing what he was doing. And, you know, we had conversations. I'm praying. I'm doing everything I can. But I can't tell you how many times I'm saying to myself, God, I can't do anything. What is wrong? You know, in my own frustration. And here's what the Lord told me, that regardless of how I feel, I need to be a witness for him, meaning for Jesus, and keep reaching out. So that's what I did. In fact, if you look at my phone under Brian Nugent, you'll see text after text over the last 2 years of, hey, Brian, you know, how you doing? Praying for you. Here's a scripture. You know, anything I can do for you, let me know. And sometimes I get a response, you know, amen, thanks. Sometimes nothing. And I have no idea what Brian did or said some of the times he got some of those texts and emails. But I kept reaching out. And I think that's important for all of us who are on the outside of a circumstance like this. So, Brian, you want to give your perspective on that when you got those texts and emails? PG, of course, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, I definitely am sorry for not responding to a lot of them. And the, you know, my wrong frame of mind and spirit, you know, produced anger, all sorts of manner of, you know, And it was all guilt and shame that really blinded me. And I'm thankful that he did. He didn't stop. Yeah. And thank you for that.
Amen. Amen. I think all of us, if we aren't going through it right now or have experienced it, we've got spouses, we've got sons, daughters, family members, friends, coworkers that are in this valley place right now. And it's not that they're anti-Jesus. It's just this, that the enemy has gotten a hold of them. and they're just blinded to what's going on in their lives right now. And we have to be so careful to continue to reach out in love. Now, you mentioned that on the Monday, I think you came to church Tuesday last week. And so what happened in the parking lot? You told me that you told me you were coming, and you ended up being a little bit late. Tell me what was going on in the parking lot.
So Monday, I had revelation from God, heard from him, spell broken. That Sunday before, my wife, she, reached out to people in the church and shared, me. And that shame prevented me from even coming to church. God opened my eyes, broke the spell, and I still had the temptation of actual shame and guilt. Because when I made a meeting to meet with Pastor Carl to tell him what had happened, I sat in the parking lot worried, and I was scared to face everyone here. I was scared to face because, they knew stuff that I did that was really awful. And I sat in there and I just prayed and I said, I knew God wanted me to be here to share this, and it's going to heal me in the process. So don't let shame stop you from doing what's God calling you to do, because when he has called you to do something, or he calls you his own, you're in his hands.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no backseas on that. There's no recall. It says it's irrevocable. And I really know that more now than ever. So if you ever feel like, you had an experience with God and, you got saved, and then now all of a sudden you don't, all right, that's a lie. 100%. That's a 100% a lie, because God is doing something.
That's good.
He's doing something in you so that he can use that to show his glory to other people. That's really what it's all about. It's all about you and I. It's relationships we have, you and I. Everything else is passing away.
That's good.
Right? You and I, relationships we have, glorifying the King, that's what we need to be focused on. And he refocused and realigned me to where I needed to be. And it's all him. I can't take no credit. It's all him.
Amen. So as you came into the church, and, did we direct you to be flogged and, hung and quartered? Or, what was the reaction of the church, a.k.a. me, to you?
It was really bad. He said, you're done. Toast. No, I'm kidding. I repent. No, Pastor Carl, actually, I didn't share this in the first service, but I walked in on a morning meeting. They have a morning meeting every Tuesday because they're back from the weekend. And I still felt all the shame. I didn't want to look at anyone's face or in their eyes. And they all had these big smiles on their face looking at me. And I'm like, So, and then Pastor Carl just listened. And we prayed, and healing happened. It was awesome. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.
From my perspective, if I go back 4 or 5 years, my attitude might have been a little bit different. As I look at how the grace of God has affected me over the years, I might have been more judgmental and maybe more critical and said, well, look at, you've got to, jump through these hoops for restoration, or, there's no way that Brian would be here this Sunday morning sharing after just having a life change a few days before. That would not happen a few years ago. But I realized that that's not the nature of Christ. When Christ says, I forgive you, and we have the example of the prodigal son and the prodigal father, and we see that when that son returned back, there was no probationary salvation or no probationary anything, but rather just a complete receiving back of that son. And so that's what I did. I embraced Brian for what he said he had done and repented of, and we move on. And that's why I felt that he needed to be here today to share with you, because I don't think he's unusual. Just like I read earlier, the same sufferings happen to all the people in the world, referring to believers in the world. So either you haven't had this happen yet and you're going to be tempted to have it happen, you're in the valley now and it's happening to you, or you know someone who's dealing with it. It affects each and every one of us. And I think we need to hold out hope for them. I spent, not as much time as your wife on her knees probably, but I spent a lot of time praying and interceding, crying out to God for him to protect you through the midst of it. And I think that's one of the things that we all need to think about. If we have someone like that in our lives, to be interceding for them, to be the hands of Jesus. Again, That's what I was. You know, those texts were really Jesus through me reaching out. Say, Brian, you know, Jesus is still there for you. God still loves you. You know, it's going to be okay. That kind of thing. With the idea that when he came out the other side, he'd be willing to come back. I believe that there's even some people, you know, obviously you're here, but there's people watching and there's people that are not in these seats because they feel shame and guilt because they haven't been here. Just because they haven't been here, you know what I mean? And the enemy is using that as an excuse for them not to come back because of that shame and guilt. So here's Brian in the parking lot. I can't tell you, I've talked to others that have that same feeling just because they haven't been in church. They feel like we're going to yell at them or condemn them or something. And so sometimes what they do is hide by just staying at home. Yeah, I'm part of church. I'm watching it online. And I'm not opposed to that. God bless you watching it online. But here's the thing. You're invited back to the household of God, back into the living room where the presence of God is, you know, where we can pray for you and lay hands on you, where you can have conversations before and after church and fellowship together. That's what the body of Christ is to do. So let me ask you this, Brian. How impactful was the church even during that time for you?
So I looking back, and I'm still unpacking a lot of this because there's a whole bunch of stuff that I've been meditating on these last 2 years to try to get direction on. And the faithfulness of the Thursday prayer was great. My wife faithfully was on there asking requests for mm-hmm. prayer. I have no idea what she was praying. I ghosted social media. I ghosted everything. Like, I forsook everything. But the faithfulness of the prayer on Thursdays... Yeah. And that was huge. Yeah. So if you guys like know Thursdays, they have a prayer every, and you guys are unbelievably faithful. Yeah.
Seven,
about it?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock on Thursdays, faithful every Thursday, without a shadow of a doubt. There are two people or at least one person up there praying. Yeah. And if it wasn't for that, you know, Kelly was on there praying and rooting for me, looking for change, looking for God's direction. And you guys, it works. It yeah. works. So use it and don't be afraid to use it because without it, you know, I think prayer comes before God as a sweet-smelling aroma.
Amen.
And he loves when he hears from us.
Amen. You know, as we kind of close out our conversation, first of all, I want to thank you for, you know, in a sense, be willing to humble yourself to come and share. Not everyone would be willing to do this. Not everyone would be willing to say, yeah, I went in a different direction. And to do that, I believe, will help in your healing of it, you know, to be, you know, open about it. And I pray for anyone here, if you're struggling with this, to be open with us about it. You know, we're just as we treated Brian, we'll do the same for you, you know. We will love on you and help you back on the path again. So if you feel that you're already in that valley, we want to help you. If you feel you're slipping into the valley, let us know so maybe we can head it off, right? So that you don't have to go down that road that God hasn't called you to. I'm going to ask you, Brian, to pray, you know, for those that are, you know, in different places, those that are dealing with family members that are experiencing this, those that might be experiencing themselves, you know, just lift them up to the Lord. And so let's pray together.
Lord, before I go into a prayer, I just want to share you guys real quick. The enemy can be cast out. All right.
That's good. That's good.
And I just want to share what me and some of my girls and my boys did last night as a way of putting that, you know, stake in the ground. I wrote a giant prayer, and we all, I did a fun thing and said, you need to scream this as loud as you can. I want to hear you. I want to see how loud you can scream. And it was a very simple prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus that all evil would leave from this house. We are the Lord's. We are his.
Yes.
And we shouted this louder. I mean, I almost lost my voice. We were shouting it so loud, and they were fun. And something happened there.
You know,
submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. So that works. And use it in the name of Jesus because they tremble and fear him. And then let's just pray real quick
because he
is worthy of all of our praise. Heavenly Father,
thank you, Jesus.
I just thank you for this and what you showed me. I ask that you would minister to those who might be going through the same thing.
Yes,
and that
Jesus.
That they would fall into grace, where I was walking away from grace, and you had to destroy the wall that I built, and I'm thank you for that. If anyone else is building a wall, brick by brick, I ask
Jesus.
That you, Lord, before it gets too high, would destroy it and restore. you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. And it's over and over and over in the Bible. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. Comfort those that need you with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much, Brian. Let's stand together. I'm just going to closing prayer. Thank you so much. And I know for some they might think, well, that was kind of a weird church service, but you know what? We're here for you in whatever kind of way we want to present things, and I think changing things up occasionally is a good way to keep us alert to what's going on, and I think hearing this testimony is life-changing, and I pray you were encouraged by it. So, Father, I thank you for every person that came here, every person watching online. I speak a blessing over them. Lord God, I thank you that your scriptures clearly say you will never leave us nor forsake us. Even if we're running 180 degrees in the wrong direction, you're right behind us, Lord God, right there, that if we turn, boom, we just run into you. And so, Lord God, I thank you for every person here. Bless them. I pray that they go out experiencing just a little more of you in their regular daily life. Lord God, protect them, bless them, keep them as they fix their eyes upon you, the author and the perfecter of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you this morning. Amen.